come and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his, three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door, and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my good friend Dave Hill. He was here last week, and he knocked on my door this week, and we let him in. Great to have you back on the Regal Beagle Podcast, Dave Hill.
Thanks for having me. I feel like Larry just stopping by.
Yeah, you got a Larry vibe.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Sort of like vaguely leering Larry. He means well.
Oh, yeah, he's the best. Even though he always sends Jack up the river. Not the best of friends. Yeah, not the best type of friend.
I've heard that the actor, Richard Klein, lives in New York.
I don't know, but I have received a response twice to two of the times I emailed him.
How many times have you emailed him?
Twice. Three times. Three times.
Okay.
Two of the times I heard back from him, and he said he was going to check out the podcast, and that was 3 years ago.
Oh, man. You gotta get him as a guest.
I know. The only guest that I've had on this podcast who was on the set was Reverend Snow.
Oh, wow.
Chrissy's dad, the guy who played Reverend Snow, and right now his name escapes me. But the guy, you know, Reverend Snow, he was on an episode of the Regal Beagle podcast.
Oh, that's amazing. He must be getting on in his years.
Yeah, like late 80s, early 90s. I was surprised.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's definitely on in his years. Wow, that's pretty strong. I mean, because there's not a lot of, you know, Mr. Furley's gone.
Yeah.
Norman Fell gone.
Audrey Lindley, yeah. Mrs. Roper's gone too.
So where do you... Are you a fan of the Ropers as landlords or Mr. Furley?
I'm a Furley guy.
You're a Furley guy. Me too.
You're a Furley guy? Yeah.
Yeah, because I always loved Don Knotts.
Yes, me too.
It brings a lot of heat. And also, like, you know, as a guy who likes a nice scarf, I definitely, it's noted every time he walks on screen. I'm like, oh, that's a really nice scarf he's got there.
If they do the reboot, maybe you should try for being his nephew or uncle or just one of the Furleys.
I would love it. I mean, yeah. You know, I'm halfway there.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be an interesting thing. Although I am against a Three's Company reboot.
Oh, me too. I'm generally against reboots. I don't like reboot. I don't even like... when they redo redo an English show in America.
This is what Three's Company is.
Oh yeah, it's Man About the House.
Man About the House, yeah. But they,
that's right.
They killed it. They killed it.
They really did. Oh my gosh, that's right. I can't believe I just stepped in it.
You stepped in it, but I can take it out.
No, don't take it out. Let me live with this. Let me, I appreciate you protecting me, but don't, you know, people need to know that I'm human.
You want to bask in this.
Yeah. I mean, I basically just, I just talk shit about the very reason we're here. So.
I had to point it out, because if I didn't, people would think that I think the same, and I don't know that it's not a UK show.
I know, and imagine... I mean, had I thought about it, I mean, clearly I had the information in there because I broke it out once you pointed it out. But yeah, I'm glad you you didn't just let that float on down the river, or, you know, politely agree with me, because I needed to hear it.
I would have sucked if I did that.
Oh man, oh man. Yeah. Oh man.
I don't know how the internet's going to treat that, but I pray for you.
You know, any publicity, I'll take it. You know.
I got you.
We'll bring it on.
Well, okay, let's bring it on. Season 7, Episode 4, Extra Extra. It aired October 26, 1982, directed by Dave Powers, written by Ellen Guylass and Don Nickel. For some reason, I forgot to write a synopsis, but basically, Janet's friend, who is a writer, writes a piece on the kids and paints the girls in a bad light. And Jack loves how he looks like a playboy.
Yeah.
So, Dave, what did you think of Extra Extra?
I think I liked it. I guess I shouldn't compare it to the other episode we talked about, but I was going to say I enjoyed it a little more, though they are both very strong. The confusing thing was, like, why the friend walks in and he's got the tinted glasses on, which I thought was a weird, but also a nice touch. And then he just, like, he's like, oh, I'm going to sit down and interview you guys, right? Like, he just walks in and is like, I'm just going to crack this story as long as I'm standing here in your living room.
About to take one of the girls out on a date.
Yeah, he's like, oh, before I do that, let me, and then he gets the whole story. And then having what he believes to be the story, he goes out on a date.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't mind. I'm maybe a bit of a swinger, I suppose. He doesn't mind if he gets lucky with Janet, that Jack gets lucky with Janet or whatever. It's a weird way to do that. It could have done it. It could have been a different character, basically.
Well, that's also like, but then that's kind of the perception is once word gets out that these are good time girls, all the sleazy guys in their lives just start to assume they can take liberties. So maybe this writer was of the same mind.
Right. Well, that's really weird. Like, for example, the customer in the flower shop, he's a customer. He's kind of a creepy guy. But the doctor with Terry, they work together every day. You think, how does one article suddenly change this guy's perception of his coworker? That was weird.
It's disappointing.
And just how he becomes a lech just upon reading it.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe he was all along and he just needed that little...
Yeah. That little 600-word essay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
some things never change, I guess.
The customer in the flower shop, Mr. Hubbard, was played by Mickey Deems. And Mickey Deems is one of my favorite Three's Company supporting cast characters. He was on the series five times as five different people.
Oh, wow.
And his first appearance was on season 2. So this is season 7. So they keep bringing on good old Mickey. And he always delivers. He's always a slime ball, a sleaze bag, a lech, a pervert, a creep. He had that look and that delivery. It was great.
This gives me hope for my own career, because that I feel like those are the roles that I get. But it also answers the question, because I've been on, you know, played small roles on TV shows, and I think, oh, they can have me play some other role. No one's going to remember that I was this other guy.
Right.
So Nicky Deems is giving. Actually, I mean, he's sort of the. The archetype, I guess, for what I was saying about moving to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Pandemic and just easing into my golden years.
I mean, he, like, you know, everybody wants to be a leading leading man, every guy, everyone wants to be a leading actor or actress. But if you can find your niche and that, I think, is more fruitful. Because leading roles, I mean, most of the time, unless you're, I don't know, Brad Pitt or who's the other guy? There's only three or four of them.
George Clooney.
Like, unless you're, if you anchor a movie, usually in 3-4 years, you're nowhere to be found.
Exactly.
But these dudes, these character guys, they stick around.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be a utility player.
Yeah, yeah.
Just keep working.
Yeah, yeah. Just the friend of the head detective or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You'll get killed off first, but hey, everybody will remember you.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, that guy got killed before, but there he is.
I want to know is...
punching the clock.
Yeah, people who take on these, like, slimy roles, they get paid, they're always working. But when they're at, like, let's say, picking up their dry cleaning, don't most people look at them like, oh, my God, I don't know what it is about this guy, but he doesn't give me a good vibe.
Yeah, and it's like, well, yeah, that's how he makes his living.
But
I saw the guy, I can't remember the actor's name, he died. But he plays like every military. I think he was in Stripes. He plays like a sergeant,
right,
in every movie, and he yells at people. And I saw him like years ago in New York eating Chinese food alone. My friends and I were like, we're gonna have to. We were looking at him, and finally we asked the waitress. We're like, who is that guy? She's like, oh, he's an actor. And then we went up to him, and it was great.
Was he nice, or did he yell at you?
He was very nice. He did not yell.
Yeah.
Weirdly did not yell at us.
Weirdly. And also in this, there's more kind of character actors in this episode who had long careers. The mothers, both the actresses who played the mothers of Jack Tripper and Terry Alden. Georgianne Johnson, who was John Ritter's mom. She was Mrs. Tripper. This was her only appearance as his mom, but she was a huge character actress. I mean, her IMDb is like, God, it starts from the 50s and goes up till... She died a few years ago at the age of 91. I think 2011, oh, wow. Or I'm not sure, but yeah. And then Terry Alden's mom was played by Mina Kolb, and she's still alive. And she was Jeff Green's mom on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, wow.
She's still playing the mom. So there's even more hope for you.
And she... Did you have this thought that her hairstyle on that episode I thought was too old for her?
Terry's mom?
That was a big thought I had while I was watching. Yeah, I feel like it was too like they had given her a hairstyle that was maybe like too old lady for her.
I thought her dress was too weird.
Yeah, the whole thing.
It was like this.
Yeah, that too.
It was like a parachute of some sort.
Yeah, it was some weird, it had like weird bow. But yeah. Where is Jack's mom? No complaints. She was great.
Yeah, she's...
Hair, and everything perfect.
Again, she's someone that you look at and you're like, I've seen her in a million things. I just can't place her.
Oh, totally.
So,
but that's the thing. And then you run into her at the dry cleaner.
Yeah.
And you're like, she seems like a nice lady.
She seems like someone's mom.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that an interesting, I can't say one of my favorite episodes. I didn't really dig it too much, but you know, it was, you know, it definitely touched on some, you know, gender issues and just how women are perceived as opposed to how men are perceived.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting thing. And So I like how, you know, Jack got his comeuppance for okaying that kind of behavior.
Yeah, totally. And did you, this occur? I feel like he, on that show, because he gets 3 beers spilled on, dumped on him on that episode. And I was like, I feel like he gets the drinks dumped on him a lot on that show. Am I wrong?
No, I think that was definitely a ploy that they used to, you know, you can't punch someone. So that was an easy way to, and also the audience goes, because it's a live audience. So.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I guess it's a good way to get a reaction. Yeah, I think so. And plus it's in a bar, like, you know, a quarter of the scenes take place in the Regal Beagle. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever tried to recreate the Regal Beagle and just make all that money?
I know that there are Regal Beagles.
Could we? When I move to Toronto, can we make it happen?
Yeah, that would be great. I'm in. I'll be an investor. I don't know if I'll hang out there, but
yeah, I'm not going to do anything. We'll get someone else to do all the work.
Yeah, exactly. And make the.
It actually reminds me of, like, what's that?
No, go on. Sorry.
It reminds me of kind of like in LA, there's a few of those kind of faux British pubs. Mm-hmm. That's what it kind of looks like to me. Well, but maybe that's exactly what it is.
It is. I think it's supposed to resemble that. There's tons of those here in Toronto.
I love it.
Yeah, tons.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it. Total sucker. Because it just looks cozy.
Yeah. That is
true. Lose a night at the Regal Beagle.
The one thing I will say about this episode and the last episode you were on was there's another tying thread besides Janet, Terry, and Jack being on it. The guy in the roller skate palace who gave Jack 2 pop drinks.
His name I like that you call them pop too. Being from Ohio, that speaks to me.
Yeah, he was his name was Tom Lancaster. And he is also, in this episode, he is one of the 4 guys at the bar who are leering at Janet and Terry. Just billed as guy in Regal Beagle. So, Tom Lancaster. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's cool that he was able to get, you know, 2 acting gigs in a row there. So.
Wait. He was the concessions guy?
The concession
at the roller
guy.
Ring?
Yeah, he gave Jack a bad look, like a smirk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When he's like, it gives him a dollar and he's like, keep the change.
Yeah.
I had questions about that scene because they order un-colas. I guess an un-cola is like a 7-Up or something, or a Sprite.
Oh, I've never even heard that term before. I guess I thought it was a joke of some sort.
That was like, I know they used to call, like, around that time, like, I'm Googling it now because now I have to know. Un-cola.
That I don't know.
Yeah, 7-Up was marketed as the un-cola.
Interesting. I've never heard that.
In the 80s. So, but then I was like, oh, what does that mean? I hadn't heard it in so long. And then when he squeezes his drink, it looks like it's just water. And then I was like, oh, yeah, must 7-Up. But, you know, the most impressive part of that scene is there's a table of, like, a teenage boy and girl.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And the kids, they have to react to Jack flying, all, you know, almost falling into their table and stuff. And I was watching and I was like, oh, you know, in the wrong hands, there could be a lot of overacting going on, you know, trying to, like, get some, you know, pull some focus. But they really played it right. Just perfect, subtle, didn't go too big with it. So
you as an actor, you're watching the periphery around the scene. So you're just, because it's interesting how you see the scene, because I noted them, but I didn't look at them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just because a lot of times, you know, extras and stuff, they really try to, like, just do all this stuff to get noticed.
Right, right.
Because they, you know, it happens. So I was really impressed.
Wow.
Really impressed the way they played that. They didn't overdo it.
Right.
Maybe they did in earlier takes, and the director had to give him a stern talking to. I don't know.
That might have happened.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
But, no, it was really good. And I was genuinely stressed out when he was bringing the drinks over to the table. Because I found myself, I'm like, I really don't want him to spill those drinks.
Yeah. Especially when that other couple came by. They could have, all they had to do is let go of their hands.
I know.
Everyone was an asshole at the roller rink.
Yeah, truly.
Like, who would do that to someone who's obviously learning how to skate?
Yeah, it was the big thing about this episode is, my big question though is, if these criminals, these jewel thieves, that they would just give him $50,000 worth of diamonds and be like, here you go. We'll come over later and collect them. That didn't make any sense.
No.
Plus, I don't remember. Oh no, he did write his address down. Now I'm remembering. I was gonna say, wait, how did they get the address? But then he says, apartment 201. That's the second floor.
Yeah.
And now I don't remember.
Right. Yeah.
But in that scene, another thing I noticed is he had a pen instantly. Did you notice that? Like, the paper, and he's like, boom, ready to go.
Well, it could have been in his coat, jacket.
Yeah, but he didn't even reach for it. It was, like, amazingly fast. No.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, overanalyzing, maybe. Or maybe not analyzing.
I don't think so.
But, yeah, he was just like, boom, all right, there you go. But, I mean, that, I guess you got it. You can't, you know, it's sort of like, you know, in TV and movies when they never say goodbye in phone, you know, and
right
on the phone, they're like, you would think, like, okay, so me at 7, great, and then they just hang up.
Yeah
But I've tried that, and it it's really rude.
Yes, it does. It is.
They never say, all right, I'll talk to you later. Okay, all right, bye-bye. Yep. Never. They got, you know, that 3 seconds, they need that.
Yeah.
Something else.
No, it's true. I've noted that as well, but I've never tried it in real life.
It's too but I'll tell you, when I write scripts, I make them say goodbye. I do it. Maybe that's why I don't sell that many scripts. It's because the characters are always like, all right, see you later. All right, anything else? Nope. Okay, good. One more thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, Dave, thanks a lot for coming down to the Regal Beagle podcast and helping me get through the series. And please, the invitation is open. Please come and knock on our door again. There's many, many episodes to go through. And once we're finished the final season, season 8, yes, it is true, we will be going through Three's a Crowd and The Ropers as well. So after this
1,000% my question.
Yes, it'll keep going on for 2 more seasons.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
The Ropers with Jeffrey Tambor as the landlord or the neighbor.
The neighbor,
right?
Yeah.
But he also plays a dentist on Three's Company.
Yes, he does. Offhand, I cannot remember, but he was a guest on Three's Company at least 3 times.
And he, and also the actress on Three's a Crowd. I should probably save this for when I'm on to discuss that series.
Yes.
I remember that show and thinking at, you know, just again, still a pretty young thing. But I remember as a kid watching that and thinking the actress that played Jack's wife, is it?
Mary Carteret, his live-in girlfriend.
I thought she was the most beautiful woman in the world.
Same here.
I just couldn't. I would just watch and be like, oh my gosh, every movement a picture.
Yep. Exactly. Well, then you definitely have to come back for Three's a Crowd when we do Three's a Crowd, for
sure. I'm ready for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right, now, how will you do it? Will you go Ropers first and then?
Yeah, that's the plan, just because that came first.
I hate to wait that long, but
yeah. No, you can come. Whatever. You can come for the Ropers. What's stopping you?
I'm in.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, there's only one season, so I'm debating whether to have a different guest. My cousin Cameron does all these, and he has never seen the show. And he's younger. He's never seen the show. He doesn't like the show, so he genuinely needs time off, and that's when I bring in guests.
Wait, he doesn't like Three's Company?
No, he's starting to come around with the Terry years, but he doesn't like it. So I make him watch it, and sometimes he'll like an episode, sometimes he won't.
This kid needs to get his shit together.
He never grew up with it, so I'm making him watch it for the first time.
So. That just seems like all the better.
And it, you know, it feels like, you know, he's dragging his heels and he really doesn't like it, but he really doesn't like it. And so sometimes I give him a break. I'll go, okay, you're off for a month. I'll bring in some guests.
Just go have a good long think about what you've done.
Yeah. So that's why you're on episode 3 and 4, because it's a new season. So I want him to start the season. So he ended season 6 and he's starting season 7.
Okay, well, I'm honored. I mean, I'm basically cashing in on Cameron's deep flaws.
Yeah, but it's been fun. I've had many guests on here, and it's been a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for having me, and I look forward to coming back to discuss the spinoff series.
Oh, yeah, you got to come back.
Excellent. This is amazing.